Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's turn to Hebrews, the chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Special day today, or maybe I should say special evening this coming evening, when there will be the annual school and Sabbath school prize giving. It's the 40th prize giving for the school. That means you're 40 years old, though fresh and well, the most of you all look, for being 40. Well, I hope you have some good rehearsals today, and I certainly hope that you'll be singing well tonight, because Mummy and Daddy will be out there watching and listening to see if they can hear their wee darling sing. Knowing some of you have been gifted somewhat with the voice of the crow rather than the thrush, it might be as well if they didn't hear. But whether you're a crow or a thrush, you'll sing out tonight. All right, let's look at this portion, Hebrews 11. We're reading verse 4. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. We have looked at this verse, considered Abel offering the lamb. Cain offered the fruit of the ground, that which he himself had toiled over, and he thought that was good enough to please God. But of course it wasn't, because God hadn't required such an offering. Rather, we can glean from Scripture that what God was looking for was the sacrifice of a lamb, for it pictured the promised Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. So that when a person in the Old Testament came with a lamb, they were saying to the Lord, Lord, this little lamb is a picture of the one who will come, even your son, and my faith for my salvation, my getting to heaven, is in the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. And this lamb is a picture of my faith. Well, that's what Abel did. He brought the lamb. Cain didn't. And today, Cain is not in heaven. That's a dreadful thing. Cain is not in heaven. But Cain now has been a lost soul under the wrath of God for about 6,000 years. 6,000 years of suffering because he rejected God's word and decided to go his own way and trust in his own sacrifice. And now for 6,000 years he's been suffering. And stretching in front of him are endless years, for he will suffer forever and ever and ever and ever because of his mistake. Boys and girls, there is nothing more important than for us to get this matter right. What are we trusting in? Are we trusting in God's sacrifice that he has ordained, even the Lord Jesus? Or are we trusting in ourselves? Our own ideas, our own notions. Millions on this earth are following the way of Cain. There's only few following the example of Abel. And I trust that every one of you here today are walking in Abel's footsteps. Well, let's notice what exactly it says. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he, that's Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's. And because that was the case, God accepted him. His, that's Abel's, sacrifice was one of obedience to God. He gave what God required. He gave that which represented, pictured, the Lamb of God. And so he was accepted by God. We're told that by his sacrifice, he was told he was righteous. Now, I want to emphasize something this morning. If you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust his sacrifice at Calvary, you will be told that you're saved. You will be told that you're saved. Not by the preacher. Well, he will tell you that, but that's not the one who's spoken of here as doing the telling. No. We read that he was told by God. Look at what it says there in that verse 4. God testifying. God gave him a witness that he was righteous. Listen, boys and girls, on this question of salvation, we don't have to rely on a preacher telling us, a Sunday school teacher telling us, a Christian day school teacher telling us that we're saved, or our parents. God tells us. God tells us. Now, you can't have a higher authority than God. If we have God's word that we're saved, then that's blessed assurance indeed. And Abel had God's word. God spoke to Abel. God testified to Abel. God said to Abel, Abel, because you obeyed me, exercised faith in the promised Messiah, and have offered as a token of your faith this lamb, I want to tell you, Abel, you're saved. You have passed from death unto life. You're going to heaven, Abel. That's what God told Abel. Let me just explain exactly what this little word witness refers to. It says that God testified that he was righteous. See that, verse 4? He obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Now, that word testifying, I want to make sure you understand what it means. You have it appearing at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. The older ones can look it up. Luke chapter 4. It wouldn't do the younger ones any harm if they were able to search it out. It's a good exercise helping them to find their way through the Bible. Luke chapter 4 and the verse 22. And there we read, and all bear him, that's the Lord Jesus, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? They couldn't really understand how the one who was Joseph's son, as they thought he was Joseph's son. He wasn't Joseph's son, he was Mary's son, born by the miracle of the virgin birth. He was the Son of God. But because they thought he was just an ordinary man, Joseph's son, they couldn't understand how he could speak so wonderfully. And it says at the beginning of the verse, they all bear him witness. They all bear witness to the wondrous words he spoke. That little word there, bear him witness, that's the translation of the same word that we're looking at over in Hebrews chapter 11, where it speaks of God testifying. So God witnessed to Abel that he was righteous. It's a wonderful thing, boys and girls, to have God's witness that we're saved. Wonderful thing. Don't you rest until God has told you that you're saved. Don't you just assume, ach, I'm sure I'm saved. Mommy's saved, Daddy's saved, therefore I'm sure I'm saved. No, that's not enough. That's an assumption. You need to hear God say, you're saved. Now, we're told that it was by the sacrifice God witnessed. Read the word again, the verse 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. By this sacrifice. Now how do you think God spoke by the sacrifice? Well, we can't really be sure, but I'll put a suggestion to you. A suggestion that has its basis in the teaching of the Word of God. I am inclined to think that God, by the sacrifice, gave evidence to Abel that he was saved. Because God showed there on the altar to Abel that he had accepted his sacrifice. He did something at the altar of Abel that he didn't do at Cain's altar. And what God did for Abel and didn't do for Cain was to show, I have accepted your lamb, Abel. Now how did he show that he had accepted the lamb? Well, do you remember the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel? Do you remember that story? Remember he went up, challenged all the priests of Baal that they should build an altar and they should put upon it a sacrifice and they should call on their God to send down fire upon the sacrifice. Remember that story? And they did. And they called, 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 and they called the whole day long, but nothing happened. Then it came Elijah's turn, and he restored the old altar that had been neglected and broken down there, filled with 12 great stones, the number of the tribes of Israel. Then he dug a trench around it, and then he doused it with water. 3 times he doused it with water, until the water was soaking the sacrifice, soaking the timber on the altar, and there was a trench of water right round the whole sacrifice. Then he prayed, and he said, Lord, show that everything I have done and everything I have said has come from thee. Just a short little prayer. And when he had finished praying, the fire of God fell out of heaven upon the sacrifice. And it consumed the sacrifice, it consumed the wood, it consumed the stones, and it consumed all the water. And the people knew God had accepted Elijah's sacrifice. Now I think God did that for Abel as well. I think that. It doesn't specifically say it in the Bible, but I'm inclined to think that's what happened. Because there at the altar, God gave evidence to Abel that he was accepted as righteous. And I think that's how God did it. Do you know how we know that we're accepted as righteous when we trust in Jesus? Because at Calvary, the fire of God fell upon the Lord Jesus, and he suffered for our sins. The fire that should have fallen on us fell on him. And for those who trust in the Lord Jesus, we know we are saved. Because the fire didn't fall on us, it fell on the Lord Jesus. God has accepted our sacrifice, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as our sacrifice, and judgment fell on him and not on us. We escaped. We're free. We're saved because Jesus died on the cross. What you have in the events here, way, 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 way back there, in those early days of this world, is a picture of Calvary. A picture of Calvary. So, by this sacrifice, Abel was told that he was righteous. And boys and girls, when we put our faith in the blood of Christ, in his sacrifice at the cross, and every time we say to the Lord, Lord, I'm trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, God answers us. Do you know that? God speaks to us. And he tells us that being so, you're saved. I read a verse from Galatians, the chapter 4 and the verse 6. It says this, and because ye are sons, and I may add daughters of God, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, or Father. And within the heart of every true child of God, there is the cry, Father. God is our Father. We call him Father. We call him Father. Not from the lips out. Tens of millions do that. They stand up in church and they say, Our Father which art in heaven. And it's from the lips. He's not their Father at all. But the true child of God can say, from the heart, Our Father. That's what Galatians 4 and 6 tells us. John the Apostle records these words in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. Abel believed on the Son. That's what the offering of the Lamb testified to. He was saying, I'm believing in the promised one who's coming. And as a result, he had a witness given to him. And everyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus has a witness. Listen to me. If you don't have that witness today, if you have not got that voice within your soul saying to you today, you're saved, that means you're not saved. Oh, boys and girls, heed what I'm saying. Heed what I'm saying. One other thing. The verse tells us something else. Not only did God speak to Abel, but it says Abel speaks to us. You see that? Look, 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 look. Verse 4 of Hebrews 11. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he, Abel, obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts. There's God speaking. and by it he, Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. Abel's dead about 6,000 years, but he's still speaking. He's speaking here today, speaking to us by what it was he did, speaking to us by his example. What he did when he offered the lamb speaks to us today. What does it say to us? Do like Abel. That's what it says. Follow Abel's example. Offer unto God that which God requires of us. That is, faith in the Lamb of God. That's what God requires of you today. Are you trusting in Jesus? Are you resting and relying upon Him and Him alone? I hope you are. I hope you're someone who has heeded what Abel has said. Heeded what Abel has said. You know, there's a lovely wee verse, and with this we'll close, in the next chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, and the verse 24. It says this, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Verse 24, Isaac, the blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of Abel. What does that mean? Well, the blood of Abel's sacrifice is but a picture. It tells us the basic truths of how we are to be saved. Points us the way of salvation. But the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things. Because the blood of Jesus Christ speaks peace to us. Those who have obeyed the example of Abel and have put their faith in the precious blood of Christ find that there is within their hearts peace with God. Joyful anticipation of heaven. They know that they are a child of God. And there is a wider testimony given to the soul that's trusting in Christ. A greater knowledge is given to the one who's trusting in the precious blood than the knowledge we can gain by looking at the sacrifice of Abel. One is a tiny picture of God's mercy, whereas when we look at the blood of Christ shed of Calvary, we see the full picture of God's mercy. Boys and girls, have you done what Abel did? Are you trusting the sacrifice that God requires, even the sacrifice of a son? Oh, I hope you are. God help you to trust in Christ today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, write your word on the hearts of the boys and girls. Give them understanding, Lord, how we strive to do that. And yet, Lord, we know how far short we fall. How far short we fall. Only thou canst impart the knowledge of these truths. Give understanding to them, Lord. Open their eyes that they may behold the Lamb of God. Bless the school today. We thank thee for 40 years of mercy. O God, look down upon us. As it was with Israel, after 40 years of wandering, they came into the fullness of the promised land, Lord. May there be a like fullness ahead of our school, to the glory of thy name. Amen. Amen.